Welcome to the WinFL Show.
Welcome to the Outer Hebrides. This is the WinFL Show. I'm your host, Ian McKinnon. I'm joined this week. We've got full house. I'm joined this week by Dave Somerville.
Good evening, gents.
Good evening. Jake McGee.
Hello, my friends.
Hello, and Patrick Jackson of the Long Snapper Podcast. How are you doing, Patrick?
I'm good, thank you. Yes, I misunderstood my way back into another podcast appearance, which is not a common thing to achieve. So, glad to have made a mistake, which meant I come back here.
Well, you're always welcome here, you know that. Right, gentlemen. Obviously, we've got another mock draft. This is one that has made it basically all four of us are involved in this mock draft. No trades, best player available. But we're doing it as an actual draft, which is much better, I think. This is your idea, Jake, wasn't it?
Yeah, if my little baby, I thought it'd be a nice idea. Like I say, no trades, just to make life easier. And I managed to line up nicely so that we all get our own play, our own teams. And I think you and Dave have teams you also hate, so should lead to some entertainment.
It should be good. It should be good. Now, of course, before we do the mock draft, we also, if we have time, because I don't know how long this podcast is going to go on for, if we have time, we do have a draft day feel. And, of course, we've got random stats coming up as well. There will be at least four of them, hopefully. So we've got action-packed WinFL show for you this week. We're going to start, of course, with the news. Jake McGee, we'll hand it over to you as per usual. What has been going on in and around the NFL this week?
Yeah, there was a little trade, lots of little signings, and then there was two kind of big contracts. So I'll just blast through the smaller news. So the Browns have traded offensive tackle Leroy Watson to the Titans for a 7th-round pick. It's number 227. The kind of interesting thing is that the Titans offensive line coach, Bill Callahan, was in Cleveland. So it's kind of a connection there. Pretty risk-free sending a 7th-round pick. So interesting to see if he gets much playing time. The Saints picked up a few players. They picked up Kellen Mond to challenge for the quarterback number 2. If he loses to Nathan Peterman, should probably retire. And we signed a St. Brown, just not the St. Brown everybody knows, Equanimous. If he's even a quarter as good as his brother, it would work out lovely. Very questionable that the Saints gave him number 13. Not a big fan of immediately giving him Michael Thomas's number. I feel like that was unnecessary myself, but what's life without a bit of drama? Saints Twitter. And then there's some other little moves, kind of Eagles signed CJ Uzama, 49ers signed Rocky Sin, a few bits and pieces. But the main ones that we'll discuss were the Eagles signing wide receiver Devontae Smith to a 3-year, $75 million contract extension. That includes $51 million guaranteed. Kind of works on the back of his 5th-year option, so it's really a 4-year $90.5 million extension, keeps him in Philadelphia through 2028. He had his $15.5 million 50-year option picked up, and then the 3 years added on top of that. So get your guys' opinions on that.
Well, I think Devontae Smith is an integral part of this Eagles offense. It really is one of the big play guys that they've got in Philly. They don't have that many playmakers on offense. I think Devontae Smith is by far and away one of their most valuable players, and they've paid him a lot of money for a receiver. But as we said, we mentioned this last week, most of the receivers that we've seen with big contracts have turned out pretty well, and they've played well and made a lot of that money back for the team. Dave, throw it over to you. Devontae Smith, I think it's great. What do you reckon?
Yes. Devontae Smith, I think, goes under the radar primarily because of AJ Brown. So I think that's a very suave move by the Eagles to get him signed up for the next however many years. Very good bit of business. And I think they're just, like I've said about other teams, they need to get their foundation sorted. And I think that's a very integral piece of the Eagles' foundation.
Patrick, what's your thoughts on that one?
He and AJ Brown give the Eagles a 1-2 punch at wide receiver that most clubs across the league would envy and benefit from, with the possible exception of clubs like the Dolphins, I suppose. But certainly if you can tie the two of them up for a long term and keep them with Jalen Hurts, that's for the benefit of the Eagles. And if they hadn't, I'm sure he would have had 31 suitors from across the league.
Yeah, I think it's fairly safe to say that he would improve quite a few of the wide receiver rooms around the NFL. I mean, Jake, I'll get your own opinion. And obviously, you told us about the news, but what's your opinion? What do you make of Devontae Smith? It's as I mentioned previously, wide receivers getting big contracts, it tends to work out. Do you think this will be just more of the same?
I do, and I think it, like Patrick says, with the 1-2 punch, you know, AJ Brown's the big body, you know, everybody expects you to target him. Devontae Smith offers you something completely different. He's very, very slim, but he's so fast, and he just offers you, you know, he's a really good wide receiver number two, and you don't know how long AJ Brown's going to be about, and he does have the potential to be a wide receiver one. So I think it's a smart pickup. You know, you're going to do the fifth-year option, you might as well sign him and get him locked down as well. So Eagles are normally pretty good for signing their own guys.
Yeah, and you're right, he is slim. He reminds me a lot of Emmanuel Sanders. And actually the double team of Demaryius Thomas, R.I.P.D.T., and Emmanuel Sanders, very similar to the A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, where you've got a big 6'3", wide, stocky wide receiver who can bully people, and you've got a very slim, very fast wide receiver in Devontae Smith, and I think it's great for the Eagles.
Everyone wants thunder and lightning.
Yes, they do.
Well, there's another team in the NFL that has spent pretty much all offseason looking after their own guys, and it's the Colts. This time they have now signed defensive tackle DeForest Buckner. They have reached an agreement on a 2-year, $46 million contract extension. It continues the run of defensive tackles getting paid and getting paid handsomely. He was entering the final year of his contract. He, of course, came over from the 49ers, but I think he's maybe the 10th player they've re-signed this year. They've certainly looked after their own guys and then trying to add a few pieces here and there. And more importantly, they're, you know, looking forward to having Anthony Richardson back. So I'll throw it straight to Patrick, I think, get his opinion on a division rival signing a defensive tackle to a nice contract extension.
Hate it. Classic sensible Colts. He's been a terror since he joined them in the division. And will continue to be so for many years to come by the looks of it. He's not shown any drop off in his performance as he's aged, and it's a well-earned contract and a sensible move from the part of the Colts, which I'd rather they weren't doing.
Yeah, Buckner, I mean, as Jake mentioned, he came over from the 49ers. He's a great player, Dave. I mean, they've not signed a lot of players from the outside in the fact of free agents, the way the Colts have, but as Jake said, they have looked after their own. They've extended a lot of people. I still don't like them letting Gardner Minshew go. I think they're going to need a veteran quarterback behind Anthony Richardson there, because I think he will get injured again. But DeForest Buckner, I mean, you saw when he played for the 49ers, a great player.
Yeah, thanks for that. That was going so well right up until that these last few words. Yes, he is a very good player. He does his job incredibly well. He's top 10 in the league. For sure. I don't think there's much doubt about that. I think it'd be silly to discount him at all. But they're getting some pieces together. I mean, they had two awful seasons in particular in the last couple of years. But they, with Gardner Minshew, he's given them some stability. I think you're absolutely right, because Anthony Richardson is a bit of a maverick from what I saw at the start of last season in terms of just kind of, I don't want to say kamikaze, but he's going to get to his goal. He's going to get to that first down, whether he has to break a leg or some sort of bone to get there. So they definitely need some sort of, at least a veteran or someone competent, I guess, to whoever's left. I mean, can you see Ryan Tannehill going to Indianapolis?
Oh, you're obsessed with Ryan Tannehill.
They already picked Joe Flacco. Yes,
yeah, Joe Flacco. Maybe Flacco. I mean, Flacco doesn't go to places to be number two or number three, so...
Do you think that's why Flacco... Jake, do you think that's why Flacco went to Indianapolis? He was like, this guy's getting injured. I'm going to play.
It might have been a factor. I think Dave's referencing when the Ravens drafted Lamar Jackson. He said he wasn't going to, mentor him. And he's not here to be number two. He has matured since then, I think, Joe Flacco. He understands the kind of stage of his career he's at. But I do think it would have factored into it going, where I'm not going to be a starting quarterback. Where can I go? Where I might still start games this year, and chances are it will be there because Anthony Richardson's fantastic, but your body can only take so much excitement, which he throws about.
I love Anthony Richardson, even though I predicted him to be my rookie of the year last year, and that didn't work out because he only played for six games, but he was dynamite. He was absolutely dynamite when he was on the field, and I can't wait to see Anthony Richardson in year two for the Colts. I think it's going to be something to look forward to. I don't think Patrick's going to enjoy it because I think Richardson will be better this year. Sorry, Patrick, but I do think he's going to be even better.
It's fine. We beat them twice last year, so I enjoyed his performances last year.
Was there any other news going around, Jake?
A bit of news. We won't talk about Aaron Rodgers because we could be here all day if we let New York to talk about Aaron Rodgers. But we will talk about another legend. We'll talk about Bill Belichick, and he's been in the news here, there, and everywhere this week. The most recent news that he's joining Pat McAfee for his draft coverage next week, which our good friend Ewan is very excited about. But the other news, and it's dubious news, not long ago, the Patriots, or more so Robert Kraft, did a documentary, and it was supposed to be about the dynasty, but it was mainly about Robert Kraft and how much he seemingly hates Bill Belichick, and he's really going. It's really a nasty little breakup on the looks here because he allegedly, according to ESPN, called Arthur Blank, the Falcons owner, to warn him not to trust Bill Belichick. Kraft was a big part of why the Falcons passed on hiring Belichick, and Kraft found Bill to be extremely difficult and obstinate and kind of stubborn, and in the end, not worthy of his trust, and also very, very, very arrogant, end quote. So yeah, he's kind of on a revenge tour, his old Kraft, and it's really strange what's happened with the kind of end of the Patriots dynasty. We had Bill get rid of Tom to show that he can do it without Tom, and it didn't work. And now we've got Kraft get rid of Belichick to show he can do it without Belichick, and it's probably not going to work. So it's a breakup in many stages. But yeah, Bill Belichick in the news, the good, the bad, and the ugly, I would say.
Robert Kraft trying to blackball anyone and call them arrogant is ridiculous. That's just absolutely ridiculous.
I was just going to say, the three Spider-Man meme. You've got Robert Kraft, you've got Tom Brady, and you've got Bill Belichick all pointing at each other. You're arrogant. It's just one circle of the three of them, or one triangle, I guess. But you're kind of talking to the mirror with Robert Kraft there. So yeah, that's. I hope that's not going to be a drama that distracts from the draft in '90s.
Patrick, Robert Kraft is telling the Falcons not to sign Belichick because of, X, Y, and Z and all these things, terrible things that are wrong with him. But he put up with him for 23 years, 25 years.
Yeah. And
the reason he went south, perhaps,
is that he let him be the GM as well as the head coach.
Do you think he knew that he could fire Bill at any point?
It's bizarre, isn't it? When you read his quotes from the press conference just after it was announced that he was leaving, Kraft said, "He's the greatest coach of all time, which makes the decision to part ways so hard. This move is the one that we mutually agreed and that we agreed is needed at this time. What Bill accomplished, in my opinion, will never be duplicated." So he's changed his tune somewhat
in the intervening months,
or at least has different opinions that he shares more privately. And it just kind of smacks of, "Oh, I never liked her anyway, and she's got gonorrhea, so don't go out with her when someone's left you,
Oh, that's absolutely brilliant.
I mean, okay, fair enough. I get where you're coming from, but I know what you mean. But, Jake, over to you. So, Bill Belichick, as we know, is the most generally considered to be the best head coach of all time. Not many people would argue with that. Certainly one of the most successful of all time, obviously. And for Kraft to all of a sudden turn around and say, oh, you know, he's, you know, you can't work with the guy. You're thinking, oh, I mean, you're talking. It really sounds like a case of sour grapes, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mentioned when we were talking about the job openings that you have to kind of separate. Are you getting Bill Belichick, the head coach? Are you getting Bill Belichick, the GM? Are you getting Bill Belichick who wants to do both? And I think the reality was, and always was going to be, that he needed to kind of take a step back and be a head coach, because highly decorated head coach, one of the best defensive minds of our generation, really bad GM. Really bad GM. So that kind of, I assumed that's where it stemmed from with the jobs like the Falcons, where maybe he wanted to take on more than they were willing. But like Patrick says, to be so open and had a big press conference and have your day in the sun, and then since then it's just been very bitter, kind of childish remarks from Robert Kraft, who's, you know, a billionaire who's had his own issues with the media, so throwing stones in glass houses is never a smart move.
It certainly is not, no. We should probably move on, because we could dig up stuff on this story all day. We should probably move on. Was there anything else, Jake, before we go on to our mock draft?
The only other thing, and if anyone else has anything, I'm sure they'll add, but the only other thing I saw very recent today, and it's not NFL-related, but it is sports-related and gambling-related, and we've kind of covered it before, so I thought it was worth bringing up. There was some major news out of the NBA, as Jontae Porter is banished by the NBA. Not suspended for a year, not, you know, suspended until we feel right, banished, done. He had lots of issues with gambling, gave information to his friends or people that he knew about maybe his playtime and what would happen, and apparently someone bet the under and won $1.1 million, and there was other bets that he placed, and he seemed to be quite a good gambler because he won like $21,000. So he seemed to win, and apparently none of those bets were games he was in, but there was lots of issues with gambling, and the NBA are the first kind of sports organization to say, you're done. We've seen it in the NFL, where it's been that kind of a year suspension, or you're suspended until we feel right, and in our own football, there's someone suspended for 10 months, and the NBA are maybe setting the precedent here and saying, listen, this is getting out of hand, and we've mentioned, you know, with all the sports gambling being incorporated into sports so much, you know, in the stadiums, on the names of stadiums, on the sponsors, and it's, you know, you can't even go onto the NFL.com right now, probably, without getting a gambling pop-up. So maybe the NBA are trying to get ahead of it and say, listen, this is getting out of hand. Here is the line. If you gamble, you're done. And it'll be interesting to see if other sports follow foot, and if the NFL kind of takes that into account as well, maybe next time.
Yeah, I mean, they absolutely could do, because we've seen players have an example made of them. We obviously saw it with Calvin Ridley. The indefinite suspension, and then it was, I forget how long he was actually suspended for. Was it about a year and a half, was it, Ridley was out for, or was it just...
Yeah, pretty much.
About a year and a half. And I don't get why players gamble. I don't understand it.
So you much know money that they don't know. Yeah, they don't know what to do with all that money.
I know, but you're trying to get more money. If I'm an NFL player, bet in the NBA. Bet on, I don't know, the Masters. Bet on Formula One. Oh, bet anything you want, but don't bet in your own sport. It just
Sorry, Jake. I was just going to say just one very quick story. I used to know a blackjack dealer that worked in Glasgow at the Merchant City Casino there. And he said that they once had a £500,000 chip, and it was specially made and brought in for one particular person, and that was Michael Jordan. So all these sports superstars, with their, you know, kind of their spare cash, love to gamble. I don't see, when you've got so much, usually people want the win, but
But there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with an NFL player or any sports superstar going into a casino and throwing $1 million down on black. I've got no issues with that. But don't bet in your own sport.
Yeah,
it's like true. It's literally like the only thing you cannot do with regards to betting. Well, actually, that's not true, because who was the guy last year? Jake, remember the Lions? He bet on college football or something like that.
Yeah, well, whilst he was in the facility.
Yeah, and so that one I did not agree with. Suspending someone for betting on a sport that he has got no affiliation with, a game that he's got no affiliation with, just because he was in the building, and if he'd been, you know, 10 yards across the street, it would have been fine. There would have been no issues. So I don't agree with that. But I don't know, Patrick, do you have anything to say about this?
I think in general, I hate how pervasive sports gambling has gotten. It's all podcast sponsors and sports segment sponsors, and, you know, you hear Scott Hansen having to read stuff out about it, and it just turns my stomach a little bit. So the sports governing bodies have made it really difficult for themselves to have a high and mighty stance on it when they've got into bed so comfortably with the people who are very happy to take the money, but won't be tied to the wrong person doing the wrong thing at the wrong time in it. Now, I guess insider trading and betting with that sort of insider knowledge is obviously a no-no, but how far does that go is the question, because these guys were high-level sportsmen in their universities, so presumably they'll know all the high-profile sports people in their universities. So when you're betting on college, you might have insider information. When you're betting on baseball, basketball, whatever, you might as well. So it's how many links down the chain do the betting firms need to protect themselves from that, and should they honestly be allowed to? Because if you're mates with someone who can tell you how the Falcons are going to line up or whatever, like, why shouldn't you use that if you're not directly involved? And, like, so long as you're not out there deliberately dropping passes or deliberately missing tackles, I don't see why you should not have that advantage over an industry that's got the weight so firmly on its side.
That's a very good point. Very good point.
I was just going to say that it's expected that the Cowboys are going to sign a running back, a really exciting running back. In what would be the, I think last year he was the Rams' number two or number three running back, in Royce Freeman. So running back problem solved in Dallas, quite clearly. Just Royce Freeman is coming out. I think that was on the NFL.com Twix feed. So they're expected to sign Royce Freeman. And trust me when I say it's not going to be a big contract.
It might not be, but I still like Royce Freeman. I still think he's a good running back. He's good, solid, so, as you seem, like maybe like a number two running back. Not sort of bell cow guy that you're looking for 400 carries a season, but Royce Freeman's a very good running back, and I think he's a good addition for the Cowboys there. So, gentlemen, we are now going to do our WinFL show mock draft 3.0. I think we'll go with that. I don't know.
Only three.
I don't understand what the points for. You know, like 1.0. We're not doing, like, it's not build versions here. We don't have a 1.1. This is 3.0.
Well, between the four of us, I think we can pretty much fill out the 1.1s with the amount of different and varied mock drafts that we're having.
Maybe we can do that. So we're going to have our WinFL show mock draft. We're going to be doing a team each as we go down the line. Jake, you sort of put this together. This is your baby. So who is picking first for the Chicago Bears? What's the order we're picking in?
Absolutely. So if this has worked out as well as I hope, we all have our own teams. If there is a team with multiple picks, I believe that person picks for that team both. You know, it's the same person picking for it, so a bit of continuity. And the WinFL mock draft with the Bears on the clock starts with our very own Patrick Jackson.
So, one point of clarity for later on before we start. Are we picking what we expect them to pick or what we think they should pick? Because that's not always the same pick.
I would say you're picking the best player available, and as long as you can back it up and you say this is why this team should pick it, you go for what you think.
Okay. In which case, in either case, this is Caleb Williams quarterback from USC.
Caleb Williams.
And it just feels like
Yeah, can you justify that, Patrick?
I mean, it's got to happen now because he's had the Bears playbook for the last 2 months. So
there we go. Caleb Williams, bit of a shock there off the bat, number one pick. who's picking number two there, Jake?
So I will be picking number two. Dave will be picking number three. Yourself will be picking number four, and then we revert back to Patrick. There is no snake draft. It is just as we go. So I'm on the clock for the Washington Commanders, and this is where the draft may get a bit funky in real life. For me, I'm going to take Jane Daniels. I think he's the kind of best option for Washington. I think Dan Quinn can learn a lot in practice having Jaden Daniels as your opposing quarterback. I think he gives you the best options, and that's why I will be picking Jaden Daniels out of LSU for the Washington Commanders.
There we go. Mr. Somerville, who do we have? Number three for the New England Patriots.
Well, what I think is going to happen is very different from what I think they should do. Because what I think they should do is pick Drake May of North Carolina as their new QB. I'm not going to say what I'm predicting exactly what's going to happen, but I'm going to say that draft night is really going to begin with number three, that number three pick, because I think there's something is going to happen in true New England Patriot fashion.
That's great, but you haven't told us who he's picking.
Oh, Drake May.
Oh, they are taking Drake May, right?
Yeah, they are taking Drake May. I don't think that's not what's going to happen though, because they are. No, I'm picking Drake May in our mock draft, but I think there's going to be a trade. I think pick three will be traded.
It may be, but for our mock draft,
Drake May. Don't overcomplicate it.
Right. Hey, Drake May. Yeah.
Wow. At number four, the Arizona Cardinals are taking wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr. Absolute no-brainer there. I don't even need to discuss why.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, if I had the Chargers pick here, I'd be going wide receiver. That's what we did this time last week. But it's horrible. So the Chargers are going to take Joe Alt, offensive tackle from Notre Dame. Or Notre Dame, depending on how you spicy you're feeling.
Interesting.
Well, as the Giants GM, I am delighted you've just taken Joel, because that means Malik Nabers is sat there for me. The last time we had a number one wide receiver, it was from LSU. It was Odell Beckham Jr. Bring me Malik Nabers.
Wow.
Ooh, and then we've got the Tennessee Titans on the clock. I'm going to say they're going to bump up their offensive line. So Troy Fautanu to the Tennessee Titans.
Interesting picks here, gentlemen. I'm loving it, but it's very interesting.
There's one or two dropping that you will really like
I think the Atlanta Falcons, because of what's happened now in this draft, this has changed things a lot, an awful lot, and I see the Atlanta Falcons. Even though they've just signed Kirk Cousins, do you know who's still on the clock? J.J. McCarthy, quarterback from Michigan. They're taking him. Absolutely, J.J. McCarthy, because they have put a lot of money into Kirk Cousins, but he's not a young man. And if he gets injured, they want a backup who they can sit. The future for the Falcons is J.J. McCarthy, taking him at number eight.
Are you just trying to torture your own Broncos here? Is that what's going on?
No, I'm just saying, listen, I didn't have them taking J.J. McCarthy at all. I had them taking a tackle, but tackle's gone. J.J. McCarthy's still there. There you go.
Well, I guess the Bears are free to take Romo Dunze, wide receiver, out of Washington at nine then, which I'm sure they'll be delighted with, because I wasn't expecting him to see him much outside of the top six.
So Romo Dunze leaves me back on the clock with the New York Jets, and I was pretty confident I was taking Brock Bowers, but Dallas Turner is dropping and he's there. But you're all in if you're the Jets, and your lunatic quarterback probably going to end up in a jail cell soon. You need to, you know, you've got two bookend tackles that maybe only last a year, so we'll stick to our board and we'll take Brock Bowers.
Incredible.
Well, I'm going to say that the Vikings are going to break the Broncos' heart, and I think they are going to draft Michael Penix Jr. at pick 11. Yep. Michael Penix Jr.
Oh my God.
To the Vikings. This is what's going to happen. And, you know, next up on the clock, the Denver Broncos.
Well, listen, the guy's still there. The guy that I was thinking was going to be taken by the Jets, and then I was convinced was going to be taken by the Vikings because they let Danielle Hunter go. Dallas Turner is now a Denver Bronco edge player out of Alabama.
That is big stuff. Dallas Turner goes to the Broncos.
Yeah.
I forgot about the Raiders. I always been to the Raiders as well, wasn't I? That was cruel and unnecessary. So this time we'll do it properly. I think the Raiders will go for JC Latham, offensive tackle from Alabama.
I can see some of us are taking this seriously, Patrick. I thank you for that. Some of us, so some rogue calls from other teams, but my own New Orleans Saints are now on the clock. The conscientious pick has been Fashanu, but Fuego is there. It's definitely going to be a tackle. Which one do I want to try and pronounce and butcher? I will go for the consensus pick and the one that seems to be going to the Saints in most mock drafts. I will attempt the full name here, so apologies. Olumuwaya Fashanu from Penn State, tackle.
Fashanu to all the Raiders.
Scout guys have been calling him Olu.
To the Saints, sorry.
Yes.
Olu
Fashanu. Yeah, Olu Fashanu from Penn State.
Well, I think at pick number 15, the Indianapolis Colts are going to go cornerback. Now, I've had a lot of trouble picking which one, but I'm going to settle on Terrion Arnold. I think they're going to pick at number 15, Alabama's other cornerback, not our famous drink cornerback.
At number 16, the Seattle Seahawks, they're taking edge rusher Jared Verse from Florida State. Ooh.
Nice.
Excellent. Well, that means the Jaguars can select cornerback from Toledo, Kenyon Mitchell again, which is pretty much how I was hoping it would fall.
I think this draft has worked out very well for the Broncos and the Jaguars. The Saints, as expected. We'll see if it works out nicely for the Rams. Can I spoil Dave's day here for the Bengals? Let me have a look at the draft board. There is a guy I quite like. You know what? I might spoil this day. I'm going to take a defensive tackle. I'm not going to let the Rams maybe take who they want here. I'm going to take Byron Murphy the second out of Texas.
You absolute rat. Well, what I want to happen is Byron Murphy. But, of course, the Bengals have tried to ruin the day with pick 18. So pick 19, going for Laiatu Latu. Solid pick.
That is a good pick. I like that pick by the Rams. Pittsburgh Steelers are on the clock. And I think what the Steelers are going to do is beef up the offensive line. And they're taking tackle Taliese Fuega from Oregon State, who was mocked to the Saints, but he's fallen down from 14 all the way down to 20 in the mock drafts here. So he is going to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Nice.
Very interesting. I think it's probably time for the first interior offensive lineman off the board for the Dolphins, so I am going Graham Barton, versatile offensive lineman from Duke.
Yeah, can play all five positions. He played center and then played tackle, and they think he can play here, there, and everywhere. I think they'll be happy with that pick. It's now the Philadelphia Eagles. They could do with a cornerback. They could do with interior offensive line themselves. They could even take a wide receiver, even though they just signed a contract. Let's see what we're going to do here. I'm going new. Cooper DeJean's there. Nate Wiggins is there. Even our good friend Kool-Aid is there. I'm going to settle on Nate Wiggins to the Eagles.
That's a very sensible pick by the Eagles. Very sensible.
That's why it's probably not going to happen. Vikings pick number, their second pick. So obviously I have them taking Michael Penix at 11, which is definitely going to happen. Pick 23, I think they go defense here. I think Chop Robinson comes off the board at 23.
Oh my word.
For going to Minnesota.
Chop Robinson?
Yep.
Wow. With the Cowboys now on the board at number 24, I had them taking an offensive tackle. I had them taking Amarius Mims. But because he's still there, wide receiver, Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU.
Nice.
I've got him taking him. I didn't think he would fall down that far. And I think that they are going to be looking at Brian Thomas Jr.
Now, the Packers are in an interesting position because their primary needs are linebacker and safety. But there's not really many first-round ranked in either of those positions. Offensive tackle has already been pillaged, which they could also do with after Bakhtiari's moving away. So I think I'm going to stick with Cooper DeJean, cornerback / safety out of Iowa. He just fills that niche for them nicely.
I got another sentinel pick. Great pick, that one.
Because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are fuming. They are fuming. They were eyeing that draft pick up. They thought he was going to fall to them somehow. They are now scrambling. They're thinking, what are they going to do? Again, could do with a linebacker. Is it too early? Cornerback, well, they've just lost their player. Edge, it's not looking good. So they're maybe just going to take up... this is an interesting one. What are they going to take? They are going to... They're going to reach. They're going to maybe take this guy earlier than they should. They're going to go for Peyton Wilson, linebacker out of North Carolina State.
That's an interesting one. But one of the more well-liked linebackers, I suppose, left in the draft. Cardinals at 27. I think they're going to go defense this time. Just why not? Because they've got two first-round picks. There's only one real defensive edge that I think they might go for, and that's Darius Robinson out of Missouri.
Interesting.
So that's what I've got.
I've got the Buffalo Bills going for a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
I think they need a wide receiver, and he's still there. We're going for Adonai Mitchell out of Texas.
They'll love that this the draft has worked out well for the Buffalo Bills, I think.
Yes, it has.
Is this next pick, the Lions, is what I cannot wait to hear from Patrick. Nobody knows what's going to happen here.
And the Lions are an interesting one, aren't they? Because, I don't know, they're so hard to predict. Like, you can try and get in the mindset of what's Dan Campbell sort of player, because he doesn't care where people are at. Just take a mauler that he likes, fits into his kind of smash mouth, self first mentality. So I think with that in mind, they go for the giant offensive tackle, Amarius Mims.
Yeah, it's
I can't believe you've done this.
I wonder what pick 30 was going to be.
I was wondering if he was going to fall all the way to 32 and the Chiefs are going to snap him up, because I thought there's no way this guy falls that low. Mims, yeah.
He was not making it past 30. The Baltimore Ravens, similar to the Bucks, are very unhappy. Jake is very unhappy. His draft board needs a reshuffle. I've now got the Baltimore Ravens. What could they use? They could use offensive line. They could use a nice right tackle. That might not be in the picture. They could use some wide receiver help. An edge, a corner. You know what? I could really reach. Oh, I don't want to keep reaching. What are we going to do? Guard, tackle, edge, wide receiver. We're going to go wide receiver. We may be, again, we're making a reach here. We're going Keon Coleman from Florida State.
Oh, my word.
That is not the wide receiver I thought you were picking, but no, that's an interesting one. The Fraudy Niners. Oh, my favorite pick in this draft. Who are they going to go? Offensive line? Yeah, 49ers can go offensive line. It's a pretty decent pick for them. I'm going to say they're going to go for Jackson Powers Johnson.
Interesting.
Center who can go to, who can move to guard as well if necessary.
That's very interesting. I thought that they'd be looking at Tyler Guyton because he's still on the board. I thought they'd be looking at him. But he's not. They're not, I should say. So we come to the number 32 pick, the final pick, the Kansas City Chiefs. They could beef up the offensive line. Tyler Guyton's still there. But with what's happened to Rashee Rice, I reckon Ladd McConkey is going to the Kansas City Chiefs. And I'll be honest, I was really tempted to pick Brendan Rice. Really tempted. I was thinking, I'm so tempted to put Brendan Rice in here. But I said, if McConkey falls to the Chiefs, they're going to take him. Ladd McConkey is the 32nd pick off the board. And that wraps up the first round of the 2024 NFL Draft.
And if he's good for the Chiefs, we'll never forgive the Ravens.
That's very true. Very true. So to round it up, gentlemen, the first round of the draft will be as follows. Number one, we've got Caleb Williams going to the Bears. Number two, the Commanders taking Jaden Daniels. Drake May is going to the Patriots. The Cards are taking Marvin Harrison Jr. Chargers are taking Joe Alt. Did not see that coming. Giants are then taking Malik Nabers. Titans are taking Troy Fautanu. Is that right?
Titans?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Troy Fautanu. Falcons are taking J.J. McCarthy. The Bears are then taking Roma Adunze. I know you don't like the Falcons taking J.J. McCarthy, do you? The Jets are taking Brock Powers. The Vikings are taking Penix at number 11. That's bonkers. The Broncos are taking Dallas Turner. The Raiders get J.C. Latham. The Saints get Olufashanu. Colts get Terrion Arnold. Seahawks get Jared Verse. Jags, Quinion Mitchell. The Bengals are getting Byron Murphy. The Rams are taking Laiatu Latu. Steelers get Taliese Fuaga. Don't know, I'm sorry. Do apologize. Dolphins get Graham Barton. Eagles get Nate Wiggins. Vikings get Chop Robinson. Cowboys get Brian Thomas Jr. Packers get Cooper DeJean. Bucks get Peyton Wilson. Cards get Darius Robinson. Bills get Adonai Mitchell. The Lions take Amarius Mims, who plummeted in this draft all the way down to 29. The Ravens got Keon Coleman. The Niners took Jackson Powers Johnson. And the Kansas City Chiefs wrap it up with Ladd McConkey. Gentlemen, what do we think of that mock draft? Oh, how much do we think that's anywhere close to what it's actually going to be like?
It's not. Not
we are hampered by no trades. And the GM for the Bucks and the Ravens, they really flapped. Their pick was taken right before them. And they were massively underprepared.
Yeah.
have to sack the GM, really. And you have to really question why Patrick did that to me twice.
Oh, you know, you just got it, haven't you? I mean, commiserations to Bo Nix, who got Will Levis out of the first round entirely, just sat there in his suit waiting all night.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some of these picks. As I say, of course, there's a couple there that are a bit weird. The J.J. McCarthy to the Falcons. I get that's a bit a little out of left field.
Really?
But the only reason they're taking him is because he was still there. He shouldn't have been there. He is because the Giants taking Malik Nabers is insane to me. Why they would not take J.J. McCarthy, it just makes no sense whatsoever.
You've got big Drew Locke. That's all you need.
Well, that is all you need. That is all you need. So there you go. That wraps up our mock draft 3.0 for the WinFL show. Fantastic. Next week we'll have 4.0. And that'll be the final one. That'll be the actual draft. Will be mock draft 4.0 next Wednesday night. Released on Thursday. Just before the draft. It'll be great. So, gentlemen, that actually didn't take as long as I thought it was going to take. Although after Dave's preambling and then not telling us who the
I genuinely think draft night is really going to kick off with the Patriots. I think something's going to happen with their pick, and yeah, they're going to really shake up the pack.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Who do you think's coming up out of interest? Is it the Vikings or is it someone else?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's either going to be the Vikings or the Giants. Ooh. The Giants to move up from 6 to get Drake May.
But imagine if the Patriots gift the Giants like their future franchise quarterback. The Giants already have enough Patriots. That would be the nail in the coffin.
It would be. It would be. I just it's really difficult. I'm really intrigued what's going to happen, because other than Caleb Williams, unless someone in the Bears has a stroke when they're writing down the name and they don't write the name Caleb Williams down, then every other pick is up for grabs here and no one knows what's going to happen. I think that's absolutely fantastic. I love the intrigue. I will be gutted if we hear about 3 draft trades in the next 24 hours. I'll just be like, oh, can't be bothered with that.
On the night is when we want it to happen.
That's when we want it. That's when we want a bit of drama. Right, gentlemen, let's move on. Speaking of the draft, it's time for Ewan McPhail's Draft Day Fails.
Ewan McPhail's Draft Day Fails.
Now, earlier on, Jake was talking about the Indianapolis Colts and how they've done some fairly sensible things this offseason so far, and we expect them to do something reasonably sensible in the draft. They're not going to do anything daft, the Indianapolis Colts. Okay? However, as we know, that's not how the Colts usually operate. Usually the Colts are a bit bonkers, and they do things, and you're like, well, what are you doing? And why are you doing it? That's how they've always been. Ever since back in the early 1980s, they've been like this. Okay, now, I'm going to cast your minds back for this draft day fail to the 1992 NFL draft. Okay, actually, I want to cast your minds further back than that, because this actually starts in 1988. But it ends in 1992. Well, it doesn't, but it sort of comes to a head in 92. In 1988, in the third round, the Indianapolis Colts selected quarterback Chris Chandler. Now, you may know Chris Chandler. You may have heard his name, played in the league for an awful long time for quite a few teams. Okay, but he was taken in the third round of the NFL draft by the Colts in 1988. Now, in 1992, well, actually, technically 1991, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers traded their first round selection to the Indianapolis Colts in exchange for quarterback Chris Chandler. Okay, with me so far. That was the second overall pick that they traded for Chris Chandler. Now, just to make you aware, at the time, Chris Chandler had played 2 seasons in Indianapolis. He had a 10-6 record. He'd thrown 10 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, 2,156 yards. Not the best. But the Bucs thought this guy was worth a second overall pick. Yes? It turns out he wasn't, at least not for Tampa Bay, because what happened was he went to Tampa Bay, played 6 games, went 0-6, 1,021 yards, 5 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. So that wasn't great. From Tampa Bay's point of view, ouch, this was a really bad trade. On the flip side of that, what the Indianapolis Colts did with that pick in the 1992 NFL draft, because they already had the number 1 overall pick, And they had the number 2 overall pick because they got it from Tampa Bay. Now, the year before that, in 1991, the Colts had the number 1 pick. And they took quarterback Jeff George. Didn't work out. Now, in 1992, they had the number 1 overall pick. They took defensive end Steve Emptman. And with the number 2 pick overall, because they got it from Tampa Bay in exchange for Chris Chandler, they got linebacker Quentin Coriat. Now, do any of you guys know either of these names? No. Okay. Steve Emptman was a huge name coming out of college. He had, like, you know, really good college career. He was consensus best player in the 1992 draft. I keep saying 1991, beg your pardon. 1992 draft. However, he really wasn't. His career with Indianapolis was played in 3 years, played in 18 games. He had 5 sacks and 75 tackles as the number 1 overall pick. The number 2 overall pick, Quentin Coriat, linebacker, played 6 years in Indianapolis. So that wasn't that bad. Played in 78 games. 8.5 sacks. Now, that's pretty bad for the number 1 and number 2 overall picks. When you look at who went after them, it gets even worse. Because right after that, in the 3rd overall pick, the Los Angeles Rams selected Pro Bowl defensive tackle Sean Gilbert. Later on, the Miami Dolphins selected Pro Bowl linebacker Marco Coleman. The Los Angeles Raiders at the time took a Pro Bowl defensive tackle Chester McLaughlin. The Detroit Lions took Pro Bowl defensive end Robert Porcher. You also had Pro Bowlers like Darrell Williams, Dale Carter went in that one. We were just looking at the defensive side of the football. Dallas Cowboys took Pro Bowl safety Darren Woodson, who really should be, I mean, this guy could be in the Hall of Fame. The Pittsburgh Steelers took Pro Bowl linebacker Levon Kirkland. All these guys went after the first 2 picks that the Indianapolis Colts had. This trade with the Bucs didn't work out for the Colts, didn't work out for the Bucs, worked out for absolutely nobody, and the Colts, with those 2 picks, could do nothing at all with it. Absolutely nothing. And that is the subject of this week's Ewan McPhail's Draft Day Fails. And it just goes to show you, don't ever trade a 2nd overall pick for a guy who was a 3rd rounder and who had a 10-6 career record with more interceptions than touchdowns.
It feels like that should go without saying, and yet...
And yeah, it should. It should. But this is the Colts we're talking about. And the Buccaneers.
I do.
Is, yeah, traditionally, not great
draft. I do like a no-win trade where neither of the teams are a team that any of us likes. That's good.
I mean, the Buccaneers, just you're like, you give your 2nd overall pick to a team for a guy who was a 3rd round pick 3 years ago. And he wasn't very good. Jake, I know you're not a huge fan of the Buccaneers, being a NFC South team. What do you make of that?
I mean, I think we had it last week where I said it always helps when the other, you know, when you've done a terrible trade that the other team also doesn't do too well out of it. So that might be the only saving grace. But as a Saints fan, we've had our own draft day fails, so I won't be too harsh on the Buccaneers.
Yeah, so there you go. Draft day fails. I love the draft day fails. It's a fact that that one decision can last for 2 or 3 or 4 years, and then you think, oh, what were we thinking? Absolutely horrendous. I'm not sure if we've had the Ricky Williams one on draft day fails yet.
It's so well known that, like, you know it. Everybody knows it. Even if you don't follow the NFL, you probably know it.
You know it. We don't need to dig any deeper for the Saints with that one, do we?
I mean, it'd be great content, and yeah, we can spare some time with Ricky talking about Ricky Williams, can't we, Jake?
I mean, you know, we'll just get the picture of a grown man in a wedding dress. Why not?
We could do that. Of course, you do realize, Dave, that if I'm going to do that, then I'm absolutely picking on the Rams as well.
No, let's focus on the matter in hand here, which is Ricky Williams. It's not about the Rams. It doesn't always have to be about the Rams.
You should tell yourself that.
This from the guy who... I'm not even going to go there. Right, gentlemen, do we have anything else that we need to cover before we move on to our final segment? No?
This is the quickest podcast in history.
Oh, listen, last time we said that, it went on for another 40 minutes. Okay? Let's not go that. I think, but we will. We'll move on. We'll go to our final segment, and it is, of course...
Random stats.
Yeah.
Right. I know Patrick knows who went first last time, but I've got no idea because I forget. I forget who goes first.
I think
first.
I might have gone first.
Well, Jake, you weren't here.
You weren't even here.
Week.
I went first
here last week. It was Patrick.
No, Jake, I was not here last.
So yeah, Jake, correct. Yeah. Dave, why don't you go first?
With your
random stat, please.
All right, gents. Now I want you to cast your minds back, all the way back to 2021. November 2021, to be precise, where there was a matchup between the Arizona Cardinals and the Carolina Panthers. Now, the 8-2 Cardinals, after this game, they were beaten by 34-10. But that wasn't the storyline in this, because this was the return of Cam Newton to Carolina. Now, does anyone remember what his famous quote was when he rushed in for that touchdown?
No.
When he ripped off his helmet and screamed at the run. Yep, that is exactly what he did. Now, something very peculiar happened just 5 months later that links directly to that, because I think that exact phrase inspired the Panthers in the 2022 NFL draft, because the Panthers had 6 picks in the 2022 NFL draft. Now, round 1, pick 6, they picked offensive tackle Ikem Ekwonu. In the 3rd round, they picked quarterback Matt Corral.
Yikes.
And then you go down the order, Brandon Smith in the 4th round, 2 6th round picks, Amari Barno and Cade Mays. And in the 7th round, you had Kalon Barnes. Now, if you think about the first letter of all their names, Icky, I, Matt Corral, M, Brandon Smith, B, Amari Barno, A, Cade Mays, C, and Kalon Barnes, K. Spell them out, I'm back. The impact of Superman at the Carolina Panthers lived on right until the draft. And that is quite a cool. I'm not going to call it a coincidence. Just going to call it an incredible, funny link between the 2021 Cam Newton returning, who said "I'm back," which then signaled to the back room of the Carolina Panthers with our 6 picks in the draft. That is what we're going to do. We're going to get the first letters of each of the names.
It signaled to them to draft Matt Corral.
Matt Corral, yes.
I love Jake's reaction. Yikes.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, but that it's a crazy coincidence. You know, Icky, I, Matt Corral, M, and then they've got their gap to the 120th pick in the draft in Brandon Smith, Amari Barno for the A, Cade Mays with the 199th pick, and then the 242nd pick, cornerback Kalon Barnes out of Baylor. There's just a great random stat.
Wonderful.
Phenomenal work.
Absolutely wonderful, Dave. That's one of the better. I don't know how to put this research.
Careful.
Random stats.
Yeah, it took me a while. Look, it took me a lot longer than my usual ones do. I'll be quite honest, but you know, I had quite fun researching this one because I saw it somewhere. I thought that can't be right, so I went and looked it up. Sure enough, the very next draft after that. But, wonderful. You know, in that game as well, I think PJ Walker went down injured, or he was just terrible and got taken out. But I think he might have gone down injured. But yeah, you, I think Cam Newton had been at the team 3 days by that point. But in the game, he was 3 of 4 for 8 yards. So classic Cam Newton throwing stats right there. One touchdown, no picks. And in the rushing department, he was 3 carries for 14 yards and 1 touchdown. So he threw for 1 and rushed in for 1. So I think it was a 2-yard rush. So there you go. And Cam Newton, obviously, with the "I'm back," ripping off his helmet. So yeah, I think that stuck really right in the heads of the Carolina backroom staff.
So done. Oh, my word. Mr. Jackson, why don't you go second for your random stat?
I'd love to, yes. So, I had a little look back through the Pro Football Reference archives to try and find out the most fumbles in an NFL regular season. And it was a disappointing tie between Dante Culpepper, who fumbled 23 times in 16 games for the 6-10 Vikings in 2022, and Kerry Collins, who fumbled 23 times in 16 games for the 7-9 Giants in 2021, I think it was. So I didn't like the fact that they were tied, so I switched it up a little bit to try and find the most fumbles per game of anyone in that sort of top region of fumblers in a season. And that led me to the Rams' own Tony Banks, 14 games, 21 fumbles, going 5-9 in his rookie season, 1996. 1.5 fumbles per game. Pretty ignominious, although, to be fair to him, he got 15 of them out of the way in his first 6 appearances and then tidied up apart from a 4-fumble game in the penultimate game of the season before Dave's time, so I'm sure there's no fond memories of him, but he did go on to win a Super Bowl with the Ravens, albeit as a backup. In that postseason run, he threw 3 passes, naught of them completed, and rushed once for -1 yards. Fair play to him, he still has a ring.
Wow. Just wow. That's all I can say to that one. And the reason that I say wow is because in episode 106, which we are on, of the WinFL show, we came this close. For people who can't see me, we came within a hair's breadth of you reading out my random stat on the same show.
Oh, no.
It's never happened, but it was so close. And I thought you were going to do it, and then you went, oh, seasons. I was like, oh, it's all right. And then you were talking about games. I was like, oh, no, he's going to read out my random stat. But he hasn't. We have been saved. So I'm going to give you my random stat, and then Jake can finish us off before he steals my random stat. That's what we're going to do. Now, my random stat concerns a game that was played in 2005. Between the November 13th, which incidentally, my birthday, 2005, between the San Francisco 49ers and the Chicago Bears at Soldier Field in front of 62,153 fans. And in this game, the Chicago Bears won 17-9. Pretty basic. Nothing going on there. A couple of box score stats here. The 49ers rushed 46 times for 133 yards. The Bears rushed 40 times for 172 yards. The 49ers completed 1 pass out of 13 for 28 yards in the game. That's not the random stats. That's just a wee bonus. The Bears went 8 out of 14 for 67 yards. But in this game, something happened that has never happened before. And it involves fumbles. Because the NFL record for most fumbles in a game is 6. Now, lots of players. 4 people are tied with 6 fumbles in a single game. The last one to do it was Chad Pennington of the New York Jets in 2005. Kurt Warner of the St. Louis Rams fumbled 6 times against the Giants in 2003. Brett Favre of the Green Bay Packers fumbled 6 times against the Bucks in 1998. And Dave Craig of the Seattle Seahawks fumbled 6 times against the Kansas City Chiefs on November 5th, 1989. But we're not talking about the record. What we're going to talk about is the fact that on this day, a Bears player, wide receiver Bobby Wade, fumbled four times, which is not a record. Now you're like, well, why is that a big thing? He is the only non-quarterback in the history of the NFL to fumble four times in a single game. Everyone else of the top I think it's 100 players who've actually fumbled four or more times in the NFL are all quarterbacks. Every single one of them, apart from Bobby Wade, wide receiver for the Chicago Bears, who on the 13th of November in the year 2005 at Soldier Field versus San Francisco 49ers fumbled four times. He lost three of them, so obviously one was recovered by the Bears themselves, and it didn't matter anyway because they went on to win the game 17-9, and that is my random stat. But my goodness, Patrick, you had me going twice. You had me going twice there. I nearly died.
How did that game end? Because, it was 17-9.
17-9 to the Bears.
At the end of the first half, Nathan Vasher caught a missed field goal by the 49ers deep in the end zone, decided to bring it out and returned it for a touchdown for 108 yards.
108 yards. That's absolutely crazy. Right. Also, the Bears' rushing touchdown came from Adrian Peterson. Not that Adrian Peterson, a different one.
Yep.
But, you know, there you go. So lots to pick through from that game. Mr. Jake McGee, why do you not round out the podcast with your random stat, please?
Okay, and I have maybe the most basic random stat ever that I thought there was the biggest chance of me having mine stolen, and it didn't even come close. So I mean, I was well in the clear. Mine, I'd like to do it around what we were discussing. So I've got it about the draft, and there is three teams that have never had the worst record in the NFL. So to never have the genuine number one pick in the NFL draft, do we have any guesses who those three teams are?
I'm going to say the Baltimore Ravens.
That one?
Is that one?
The
three teams. I'm going to say the Baltimore Ravens, the Denver Broncos, and the Seattle Seahawks.
Okay, any raise on that, Dave?
Oh, I was going to say Broncos and the Cowboys. I can't remember the Cowboys having it, but they probably have.
That's not three, Dave.
Okay. look, just as well, I don't need numbers for my job, but let's see what. who else? Go for the Seahawks.
Okay, and Patrick, any guesses?
I think you've picked them all off already, frankly.
What?
Okay, yeah.
Do you know the answer, Patrick? Yeah.
Not off the top of my head, but what you've said sounds more plausible than what I could guess. So.
So okay, well, we picked. There was four between us. You picked your three. Yeah.
I picked the Broncos, the Ravens, and the Seahawks. Dave and I changed the Cowboys.
Cowboys instead of the Ravens.
Cowboys, yeah. Broncos, and Seahawks.
I hope you're wrong then. I'm going to go Broncos, Seahawks, Patriots.
Okay.
Well, one of you is right. And it was the first man up. It was the Broncos. It was the Seahawks. And, of course, it's the Ravens. Only existed for, 20 years, you know. Yeah. It's not 20 years. It's, 4 years, but it feels like 20 years. yeah, they've not had a bad year since they stole a team in the middle of the night.
The best thing about this round is that this time next year you can do it again when it's down to just the Seahawks and the Ravens.
Oh wow. Patrick Jackson, do you ever want to be back on this podcast?
Patrick Jackson was last appearance on the WinFL show.
I'm not the guy managing a team into the season with Jason with Stidham as my.
Do you do you honestly think for 1 second the Broncos will finish dead last in the NFL next year, this year?
Oh, they're big fans of Shadur Sanders, aren't they?
Oh, well, will his father let him go there? Because if you want a hot take, we could go there, because I'm getting real sick of Deion Sanders.
Jake, do you have time for a... Do you know what? If you've got one, Jake, we've got time for a hot take if you want to throw one in there.
Jake's hot takes.
It's just with Patrick saying there about Sanders being drafted possibly number one next year, and Deion Sanders... coming out and saying he won't let not just his sons, but another player at Colorado play for certain teams. They will only be able to play for certain teams. Bearing in mind, this Colorado team last year won 4 games, and the Sanders brothers, I believe, were on Instagram putting out there, trying to recruit, saying anybody that wants to transfer to Colorado, they need to message Sanders for the offense and somebody for the defense, maybe the other Sanders for the defense, and it goes through them. And I'm thinking, who the hell do you think you are? What, you won 4 games. You won 4 games. And you're saying, oh, you need to contact me if you want to transfer to my team. And yeah. Deion Sanders saying, well, my son, he can only play for the Cowboys and the Falcons and other teams. He's not going to play for any rubbish teams. He might not get drafted. Can we stop pretending he's Caleb Williams? I don't know, maybe. I was just thinking of Deion Sanders. Probably
because that's what he was. He was at the Falcons, the Cowboys, and the 49ers. And I mean, you're not Alabama. You're not LSU. Behave yourself. What is he thinking?
Yeah, I've seen this, you know, kind of blown out of proportion with Caleb Williams at the start of the process, saying his dad saying he didn't want to play for the Bears. And you are... you know, at the mercy. I mean, it's definitely different now with the nil money. Yeah. But you're at the mercy of being drafted, and just because Eli Manning did it once, everyone seems to think they can just kind of demand where they're going to go. No, you're not Eli Manning. You're not John Elway. You know, it was Shiloh Sanders saying defense transfers DM me, offense transfers DM Shador Sanders, is that how you say it? And then put underneath, this is not last chance you. It just blows my mind that a team that won 4 games has the ego of them. And then Deion Sanders basically saying he's not going to allow Travis Hunter, who's not even his kid, he's just a player for him, not going to let Travis Hunter and a Sanders boys sign for certain teams. Just bonkers to me, and it's getting really out of hand in terms of, you know, player power. I'm all for, you know, making businesses pay your contract. You know, if they pay a contract, they should honor it. But saying I'm only going to play for 4 of these teams, and if these 4 teams don't want me, I'm not going to sign. Yes, you are.
that's crazy. And you can't equate that to, as you say, you know, the team won 4 games. You cannot equate that to the Eli Manning situation or the John Elway, certainly not the John Elway situation, because he only didn't want to play for the Colts and said, listen, I'll play baseball because I've been drafted by the Yankees. So, you know, there you go. I'll play for, at the time, there was only 28 teams in the NFL at the time. He said, I'll play for 27 other teams. I will not play for the Colts. Or I'll play baseball. And Eli Manning was pretty much the same. He says, I'll play for anyone, but not the Chargers. I don't want to play for the Chargers. And that was more his dad, wasn't it? That was Arch Manning. He was like, he's not going to play for you. So he didn't want him to play for the... I don't know why he had such a beef with the Chargers. Because you could see... Well, maybe it was 6 fans. It could have been that. But you could see in the... Because it's very well documented. There's all the footage of Arch Manning on the phone to the Chargers GM pre-draft and saying, well, he's not going to play there. You can draft him if you want, but he's not going to play. So, you know, you'd be wasting a pick. And that's what they said. He will just refuse to play. He'll sit. But for a college team that won 4 games to say that... Oh, if you want to transfer here, you got to do this, you got to do that. What? Do you honestly...
DM me. DM me. That's how it works. You know, if you want to transfer, you don't go through the portal, you go through my Instagram, because that's legit. Mm-hmm. And I've got the list of the 6 teams. So good news, if you're any of these 6 teams, you are allowed to draft the Sanders Suns and Travis Hunter. So the Eagles, the 49ers, the Cowboys, the Ravens, the Falcons, and the Commanders. They are allowed to draft these players.
No, he loves these players then, does he?
Yeah, he loves them.
The Commanders.
Deion Sanders runs the NFL.
Oh, listen, I, we all know that Deion had a massive ego when he was a player because he could back it up on the field. And we all know this. He was a legitimate, you know, all-pro quarterback. I get that. But when your team sucks and then you're trying to demand things from other people and saying, and then say, oh, you can play for Washington. Washington? Because Sanders played at Washington for a year, didn't he? Teams he played for.
I mean, last year, Colorado were 4-8. The year before, they were 1-12. So it's exactly a winning organization in college football.
All those players from Texas A&M were like, oh, we need to go there. Yeah.
Better DM the Sanders friends to see if I'm allowed to play for Colorado.
I don't need no Crimson Tide in my life. I need to go to Colorado. What?
Said no one ever.
That's just ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Go Buffaloes or whatever they're bloody called.
The Buffaloes. The Colorado Buffaloes, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, that's thanks for reminding me, Patrick. It had been bothering me, and, you know, we had a bit of time, so I got it off my chest.
Oh,
glad to help.
Quite right. Now, I don't think there's been any breaking news since we've been doing our recording. So, gentlemen, I think we're done. I think we're actually done in slightly less time than I expected with the Mock Draft 3.0. And we even got a bonus Jake's hot take there. And 4 random stats. My goodness, there we go. There we are. So next week, obviously, will be the pre-draft episode of the WinFL show. We'll have a final mock draft. We will also have, of course, random stats. We'll have a draft day fail as well. And thank you for everyone for listening. Don't forget, you can find us on Twix at the WinFL show. You can also find myself, Jake, Dave, Patrick, and others affiliated with the show as well. Patrick, thank you so much for coming along. 2 weeks on the bounce. Do appreciate it.
An absolute pleasure as ever.
Jake McGee, thank you for coming along.
Thank you. And I may not sleep between now and then looking at my mock draft, but I'll be there.
Dave Somerville, thank you very much.
I'll leave you with one little fun fact that 2 weeks ago, Warren Sapp signed as a graduate assistant at the Colorado Buffaloes. So there you go, Hall of Famer added to the backroom staff of the Colorado Buffaloes.
Stand up human being.
That's not even going to go there. There you go. And thank you to everybody listening at home. And we will catch you on next week's edition of the WinFL Show.